I'm sure we could say every week that these are some great readings, very rich and amazing exposition of God's love for us, His children. But really, today, the richness in these scriptures, as we are continuing this beautiful season of Lent, if we recall the last few weeks, we've been hearing about the different covenants that God made with the people, with Noah, Abraham, and Moses. This covenantal relationship, this relationship of love and fidelity, that I will be your people and you will be my God, and God's promise to us, His children, to give everything of Himself to and for us. That we, if we are faithful, will inherit the promised land. If we are faithful, we will have long life, and our home, our house, our kingdom will last forever. Just be my people. Be faithful to this covenant, and I will never abandon you. You will have everything that you ever need, is the promise that God has given us, His children. But today, this first reading from the second book of Chronicles, one of the few times that we have a reading from this book in the liturgy. And the reading we have today in the traditional Jewish Old Testament, this would be the last words that they read, the last words that they have. This is the last book of the Jewish scriptures. This chronicles, this history of the people. And today, at the end of their scriptures, they hear about the unfaithfulness of themselves and the effect that brought. That in the year 587 before Christ, 600 years or so before the birth of Christ, the Babylonians, this empire, came in and conquered Jerusalem, the chosen city, the place where that was the temple, the place where God dwelt with His people, the place where all Jews were expected to come three times a year to offer the sacrifice. This place, this chosen place, because of their sin, because of their infidelity, was conquered. And not only that, but the temple was destroyed. It was gone. The very sign of the presence of God with His people was taken away. But we have this reading where it talks about the King Cyrus of Persia, a pagan king, the next empire to come and rule over the people, this man who was not part of the promise. God chose him to be the one to begin the reconciliation, the restoration of the kingdom. He says, all of those who are part of the people, let them go up and begin to rebuild the kingdom. That even in the face of the utter infidelity, the sinfulness of the chosen people, God did not give up. God remained faithful to His covenant. God was merciful. And that's what St. Paul tells us. Brothers and sisters, God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love He had for us. When we think about God, when we imagine who God is, are these the words and the image that comes to mind? Rich in mercy, and He has great love for us. This is a common description of God throughout the Old Testament. So often we can easily fall prey to this idea that the God of the Old Testament was vengeful and mean and punishing. But more often than not, more times, He's described as rich in mercy, kind, slow to anger. God is love, St. John would tell us. In this beautiful passage from Ephesians chapter 2, that when we were dead in our transgressions, we were brought to life. This passage, chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, is an amazingly beautiful passage. And it speaks to the depth of the truth of our relationship with Christ, of who we are, who we were, and who we are now in Him, because of Him, that we were saved through grace. By grace you have been saved, He tells us twice in these few little verses. Not because of anything we've done. Sheer gift of the Father for us, His children, who we heard in the gospel prefer darkness. That the light came into the world and we chose darkness. That is who we are, and God still loves us. That even when we were dead in our transgressions, He brought us to life in Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up and seated with us in the heavens. We've been saved. We've been raised up. We've been seated in the heavens. An amazing reality. And this is what happens to us at the moment of our baptism. Not after living a faithful life for so many years. Not after never missing Mass or never eating meat on Friday. After praying a rosary every day. All those things are good and I would say necessary to nurture the life of faith. But the reality of who we are comes first. And because of that, then we can do the good things. Not because of any work so that no one will boast. Because we are His handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has prepared in advance so that we should live in them. This passage began with God who is rich in mercy, Ephesians 2, chapter 4. But if we go to the scriptures, one important word I think is important is missing. But, B-U-T. But God who is rich in mercy. Because He spent the first three verses of this passage really describing the state of who we were. That He made us alive because we were dead through our trespasses and sin. He's reminding us that we were dead because of our sins, and the way that we walked, the path that we took, was a path to death. We followed the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. He's describing this non-Christian world, that we follow the powers of the air, that whatever's going on in the spirit of the culture, we allow our hearts to be pulled this way and be pulled that way. We allow the government to form our minds. We allow whatever's going on in popular culture to form our hearts, that we're following the power of the air and the spirit of the present age. And because of that, we're dead in our transgressions. We're dead in our sins, but God, who is rich in mercy, brought us to life. If we don't become aware of our complete and total poverty and the absolute helplessness in which we were born because of original sin and the effect of our sinful choices, if we're not aware of the immensity of that, that's death, then who cares if God is rich in mercy? What does it matter if He saves us? For God so loved the world that he sacrificed His only Son so that we may not perish but have eternal life. So what? If I'm not dead in my trespasses, if I'm not dead in my sin, what does it matter? But God, who is rich in mercy, doesn't allow our sin to prevent Him from being faithful to the promise. That even when we choose darkness, even when we prefer darkness, He is still all love, all mercy, all kindness. This is what brings us to life. It's the reality of who we are without Christ. That in Christ Jesus, we have been saved. We have been raised up, and we've been seated in the heavens already. But because through our baptism, through the saving waters of baptism, we are incorporated. We become one with Christ. And as we say on the Feast of the Ascension, that where the head is, the body is sure to follow, that we are already there with Christ in heaven. That these verbs tell us that this thing has already taken place. And so this season of Lent, this beautiful time of prayer and penance, of reconciliation, of making reparation for our sins, so that the reality that was given to us in our baptism can be a daily lived reality. That we don't have to be a slave to the power of the air, the spirit of the age, the prevailing cultural factors or the political persuasions. That by grace we have been saved through faith. Not because of anything that we've done, but by a sheer work of God's mercy. God loves you. Simple as that. God loves you. And he was willing to have his son die on a cross so that you can make sure to be able to live with him in heaven forever. What more could we ever need? What more could we ever hope for? Eternal life in Christ Jesus. So as we make this joyful pause halfway through Lent, as we examine our consciences, as we examine how well we've done so far in Lent, and maybe we failed completely, praise God, we need you. I can't do this on my own. What a beautiful season of Lent this would be if you get to that point, that you've failed at everything you wanted to do, but you return and beg him for his mercy. For we who were dead in sin have been saved by grace, because he is rich in mercy. Amen.